From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is going to be made on the Interloop. It's still kind of strange to say on the Interloop, but part of the Interloop has been filled, and so Rochester Fashion Week is taking their fashion exchange to the Interloop 1 week from tomorrow, one of the signature events for Fashion Week of Rochester, which is entering year number 7, I believe. Now, this is an event about fashion, no doubt about that. It's also about highlighting the remarkable personal stories of some of the designers and tailors and artists, and it's a big fundraiser for the Center for Youth, an organization that helps kids from Rochester and from the suburbs. And this hour is a bit of everything, starting with those personal stories, the success stories of people from a range of backgrounds in our community. Let me go ahead and welcome my guests for the hour, who we're going to pack the studio, and they're still filling in here. Elaine Spall is the one who's brought it all together. She's the executive director for the Center for Youth and co-producer of Fashion Week Rochester. Welcome back. How are you?
Hi, Evan. We are super excited. It's actually becoming real. And if you go by East Avenue and you look right, as if you pass a little theater, you will see this magnificent 20,000 square foot tent being erected as we speak. And we are absolutely insane. I'm just going to put that right out there, because we are building a city on a piece of dirt. And we have to figure out how to get the water and the generators and parking and food and bathrooms. And it comes together, and it is remarkable. And if you haven't seen it, you've got to come and see it this year. So,
I'm going to be asking you why you decided on that. We'll get to that. We'll get back to that in a second. Let me say hi to the other guests in studio. Nathaniel Johnson is the owner of Nathaniel's Original. 4 different years now that you've been contributing to Fashion Week. Is that right, sir?
Yes, it is. And every time I get an opportunity to be a part of it, it's amazing.
Well, thank you for being here. We got a lot to talk about with you. And Fatima Bayram Sable is owner of Paisley Boutique and Silk Bridal Boutique. Still in the Brighton Tops Plaza, is that right?
We are, yes.
Last time I saw you, that was 2 years ago, and you said, that's your baby.
I know.
How's your baby doing?
Now they're toddlers. They're driving me crazy.
They're 2-year-olds.
How's life there?
Life is good. It's a blessing. Thank you for having me today.
Well, nice to have you back here. Aww. So, Elaine, you know, when you mentioned what's going on in the Interloop, but that's just one little slice of a lot of what's going on. So why don't you kind of give us an overview? I know you've got an event this week and then all next week. So what's coming up?
So, you know, Evan, we begin to scope out where we're going to be. And every year we decide we're going to be in a new frontier. We're going to be where no one has gone yet. We're going to do something magnificent. We're going to feature our city in a way that others haven't seen it. Last year, we were the first to have a venue on Parcel 5. We put the tent there. We've been in churches. We've been in airports. We've been in hangars. We've been in tunnels. We've been in high things, low things, underground things, on the street, at the market. We've been everywhere. And 2 years ago, Meg Mundy, who's our CFO, chief fashion organizer, said, you know, can we try to be Bryant Park? Can we just try to be New York City? And I was saying, you know, the tent's boring. And I was so wrong, because the tent is awesome. Putting the tent up on Parcel 5 last year gave us the dream that we always want to be the next frontier. And so, as you know, the Interloop is the next frontier. It was about 5 o'clock about a week ago on a Friday that we actually got the deed transferred to the city of Rochester. It was still owned by New York State Department of Transportation. I was a little nervous, but it comes together, and it's pretty remarkable. And, you know, you want people to know that Rochester has architecture, fashion, creativity, talent, music, and it's all right here. We don't have to go anywhere else. The most beautiful people on the runway and creating for the runway are here in Rochester.
So if you want to check out the full schedule, fashionweekofrochester.org for that.
For
and
that.
We'll make sure that we work through more of the events and whatnot coming up this hour here. Elaine is the type of person, you're going to hear her say a lot, beautiful person, inside and out. Beautiful. I mean, I do a really good Elaine Spall when you're not in the room. I just want you to know
you
that.
You do.
I do.
I have to hear it.
I really do. I'm very proud of that. But Elaine is not the type who does it in sort of a, well, your political hero, Donald Trump, kind of vein.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Beautiful, this and that. So, no. Very different sort of style here.
Yes. And my name and his name in the same sentence, really.
Just first
but
time,
that's okay.
First
that's,
time
okay. That's okay. First time, last time, I hope. Yeah.
First time ever. We'll do the last time for this hour.
Yeah, okay.
So let me ask you a serious question then. When you talk about, you know, the beauty of the designers and the work that they're doing and how much fun it is to see the really high quality events that you're doing here, you're also talking about raising money for the Center for Youth.
Right.
And some people think the juxtaposition is sort of odd. You know, child homelessness with high-end fashion.
Yeah.
Why does it work?
Well, you know, one of the things that happened this year is that Partners in Napier, a wonderful ad agency, sort of put us aside and lifted us up and said, you know, why don't we actually tag something that makes sense? And so the tagline, Walk the Walk, really does tell it all. They're just so helpful with thinking, how do we bring these two together? It's okay to look good, to have gorgeous clothing, some of it much less expensive than it may look like when you first look at it, and also to say we are doing this for one reason. As much as I love it, I would not be doing Fashion Week if it didn't make a difference for our homeless youth. We have unstable funding across local, state, federal, and we have unstable funding, and the need is not going away. The need is getting bigger. So every time you buy a ticket to Fashion Week for any event, you're helping homeless kids. Anytime that you write a big check for a sponsorship, you're helping homeless kids. We don't have to be embarrassed about being beautiful, about being creative, about being talented at the same time. I mean, what a great way to celebrate all of Rochester. So we're going to walk the walk on the runway, and we're going to walk where our steps make a difference, and that's for these kids. And our kids are magnificent, and they deserve this. They really deserve this.
Well, every time Elaine's in, I always think, like, do my socks accessorize? Like, am I working it, today?
Well, I saw your socks. They're okay.
Okay.
They're
all right.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad
sometimes
to hear
they're a little bit brighter. These are sort of subtle stripes. But that's okay. No one's looking at your feet. But no. I am thinking about the runway for you next year. I would like to think about that.
I really have the moves. I don't know about that. But
well, Meg can style you, and we can put some good music.
Megan
and
maybe a
walk with your wife.
I'll tell you what.
That would be.
No, I'll tell you what. You can put Megan Mack on the runway for that, because that is not my bag. But I'm also thinking about last Thanksgiving and Christmas. Here's why,
yes.
Elaine. We did a program around the holidays last year where we talked to dozens of local charity organizations, shelters, groups that help people in need around the holidays. And so our family adopted a family of nine. And this is a family that's got very close to nothing, right?
Yeah.
And I was surprised that their big ask, the kids wanted colognes, things like that, body sprays, things like that. So I called Elaine and I said, you work with kids who've been homeless, kids in poverty, and they could have anything, and that's what they're putting on the list. And you told me you do not understand how much it means to them to feel beautiful, special, styled up, even for a day or two or whatever it is, a year, that sometimes we think looking good, fashion, whatever, is reserved as a privilege, but you think it's important at all levels.
Yeah, I do. And, think about what it feels like when you take a nice hot shower and maybe get your hair done, and you have a little bit of perfume. Or, one of the things that happens, Wegmans gives us a lot of their cosmetics that are just a little bit old. They're not outdated, really, but they can't sell them. Our kids love that. So why shouldn't we treat them well? Why shouldn't we let them look as good as they want to look and be resilient? It does really change the spirit. You guys were so generous. I tried to get you involved with the crisis nursery. I think we'll make that happen this year. I have a feeling.
She never stops selling.
I never stop.
I know. We're talking to Elaine Spall, who's the executive director of the Center for Youth. They're the beneficiary of Fashion Week of Rochester, which is getting ready to kick off. And I want to talk to some of the people in the room about their role in this. And Dimitri Sunny Azel is the owner of Cool Mo Company, who just popped into the studio. Hello.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Well, why don't we start with you, Dimitri, because I just kind of want to know about your own story here and how you get hooked up with Elaine and Fashion Week. And take me back a little bit.
I've been trying to get in Fashion Week for about a couple of years now, and I finally got that message back from Megan. Megan messaged me, and Ajani messaged me about Fashion Week. And I see an opportunity, and it was a great opportunity. I always wanted to be a part of it, so this is my chance.
Tell me about Cool Mo.
Cool Mo is a company I started in 2012 after an injury I had. And basically, the time I took off from my injury, I used to create what I really wanted to do. Like, I really wanted to do clothes. I always wanted to be a designer. Never had the time to do it. Never really put in the effort to do it because of other things around me and my environment. So that time allowed me to create Kumo, and ever since then, I've been rolling.
Where did you grow up?
Eastside Rochester, New York.
And you said there were things that over the years prevented you from being able to kind of really get going with Kumo and your desire to kind of get into that kind of design. What were those things? What was going on in your life? What were
just
the challenges?
Just the environment, things going on around me, the streets and things of that nature. It's just a whole nother, it's just a whole nother life. And it's just certain things that, like, you could try to chase your dreams sometimes, and then but you have certain environmental things that stops you from doing what you really want to do. But my passion and what I'm really trying to push, I'm trying to show people that you can chase your dreams and you can go the other way.
When did you know you had this desire to do this? How young were you when you sort of understood that?
Around, I say, 14, 15, because my mom always made sure we were fed and we was good, but we didn't have a lot of the clothes and stuff. Mm-hmm. So when you don't got a lot of clothes, you got to be unique about a lot of things. You got to put things together. Mm-hmm. So it could look good and you still be acceptable to other people. So that's where that all started from, though.
What was the hardest it got for you?
I was struck by a motor vehicle on a motorbike while I was on a motorbike, and I got a rod from my knee to my ankle, and I couldn't do much for about 6 months. I was on bed rest, just recovering. And it hurt me because I couldn't really design clothes. I couldn't really do much of anything I really wanted to do. But that time I just used to plot a lot of things out.
And now, what are you doing over the next week or so? What's your role here in Fashion Week?
Just to show up and be great. I'm just grateful for the opportunity. I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be able to work with the people that I'm working with.
Show up and be great. Which events? Where are we going to see it?
Thursday event.
So, Evan, Thursday night, I'll just have a little quick...
This Thursday?
No.
Next Thursday.
This Thursday is something called the Boutique Crawl.
Okay.
It's when women like your wife get the credit card and shop. And get is she listening? And get ready for Fashion
Men
Week.
Men are not invited?
Men are invited.
Don't stereotype.
Well, most of the boutiques are, I will say, have women's clothes. There are some men's clothes as well. But most of the boutiques on the crawl are women's clothing. And we've got limos. We've got about 100 women in limos. And then we've got another couple hundred self-drive. And it's just a great night. You know, we used to hold it on Sunday, and we realized people wanted to get ready for Fashion Week. Mm-hmm. So we want to shop beforehand. Mm-hmm. So Dimitri and Nathaniel both are in what's called our Thursday Night on the Edge. It is emerging designers not to be missed. We're bringing
that's next Thursday.
That's on the 13th. So this Thursday is the Boutique Crawl, and then we take a break. We finish putting the tent up. We have a bunch of stuff on Monday. Can I just quickly tell you what's happening? Okay, so Monday is Fashion at the Movies. If you haven't seen Zoolander, Zoolander 1, Zoolander 2 is kind of a stinker, but Zoolander 1, 3 o'clock, and then we have two documentaries. One is about Bill Cunningham, who was an amazing New York Times photographer and featured New Yorkers in amazing fashion. And then there's also a documentary. Tuesday we have the Fashion Exchange, and that's when we upcycle. You come into the tent, you bring clothing that you've never worn, or we have all our amazing boutiques are donating great fashion. And then on Wednesday we start with four runway shows, bang, bang, bang. But Thursday, the 13th, these guys are being featured. Their designs are being featured. We call that our edgy night. We're bringing skateboarders from New York City, a group of women, female skateboarders.
That's dope.
That's dope. Dope. Dimitri also was really open with me about how much he's grateful to help the Center for Youth and some of our homeless kids, and that was a really nice connection we made. Yeah. If you remember that conversation.
Yeah, can you tell us about that, Dimitri?
Yeah, because I've been in that situation. I know how it feels to be homeless and not have a lot. I've been in that situation. So when she told me about that, I was just all open arms. Like, it just made me really want to do the show even more.
How old were you when you were homeless?
This was just about 6 months ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this was just about 6 months ago.
So you're on your way back? How you feeling?
Yeah, I'm fine now. I'm doing okay now. I'm doing better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now you're going to be there on next Thursday night.
Yeah.
You want to give us a little sense for what you're rolling out there?
Nah.
Well, you got played a little bit.
You're going to save it.
Yeah, I'm going to save it.
But he is one of our, he is featured on one of our posters. So if you go around the community, we got these great posters. And there is one of his designs is on a poster. You get a little sneak preview. But yeah, he's a man of mystery, Evan. He's not going to, you got to buy a ticket. You got to come.
You got to buy a ticket.
Yeah.
All right.
Or maybe I'll give you one.
Let me ask.
I'll buy one for
let me ask Nathaniel Johnson then, because you're also going to be there next Thursday night?
Yeah.
Get right on that microphone for me so I can hear you.
Yep, I'll be there next Thursday night.
You're the owner of Nathaniel's Original, which is what?
It's a custom design house. It's in the Rochester downtown Cumberland, building an old post office. And that's my design studio. I work out there 24/7, and my studio is 24/7. So I'm always there.
You always working?
Yeah, I'm always working.
I hope you love working then.
I love exactly what I do. You know, it's nothing like having a job that you love to go to. Every day is a new adventure. When I open my doors and pull out a piece of fabric, you keep people in awe, because all they see is a piece of fabric. They don't know what's gonna come out of it, and that's what's in my brain. So you gotta wait and see what comes out of it.
Well, let me back up with your story. You're originally from Baltimore?
Yes, I am from Baltimore, Maryland.
Moved to Rochester when? How old?
I moved to Baltimore when I was like 13. I'm only like 15 now. So no, I moved to Rochester like in the early 70s. My mom and my dad moved us here. Rochester was a different market. You had the Kodak and Xerox, and they actually moved here for those jobs. And unfortunately, by the time it was time for me to get a job there, it wasn't like it was. So, you know.
When did you know then, same kind of thing I want to know from Sonny. When did you know that this was something that you were passionate about doing?
I'm going to tell you, when I lived in Baltimore, my aunt was like a great seamstress, and I used to just sit and watch and watch and watch. And my cousins to this day are like, we're dumb. I was like, why you say that? We couldn't figure out why you're sitting there watching when everybody's outside and it's 90 degrees outside and we're playing, running up and down the street, and you're just sitting at the other end of the table, leaning on, pinning pieces together and helping her out. And they're like, I wish I could just like have my own job. I'm like, I just was fascinated by it. And I knew, like, when I was younger, I was like, I think I could do that. And I just started one day. I was like, okay, let me do this.
How old were you when you started?
Well, actually, I started, like, I didn't really get into design until I was, like, about maybe 21, 22.
Okay.
We moved to Rochester. The sewing machine was put away. And my sister actually, my grandma gave my sister a sewing machine. And she was like, why are you giving me this? She was like, when she graduated from high school, my grandma was like, everybody needs a sewing machine. She was like, I'm not going to use it. And she left and she went to the military. And one day I was like, I need something to wear. And I was like, and it's not even a joke. I went to H.L. Green's that used to be down on Main Street in Rochester. In the basement, they sold dollar fabric. Made a Gordon Cottrell shirt, if you know what the Cosby Show is. And I just thought it was the best, and I wore it, and everybody's like, oh my God, that is so dope. That looks nice. Where did you get it? Pins, different color thread, but it worked. And I started, and, you know, just from that and getting feedback from people, I was like, okay. And it was hit or miss. Like, I worked, so I would sew for people and do different things. And then I was invited to put a few pieces in a show. And I was like, okay, let me make something. And I made a couple pieces, and it just went from there. I just been doing shows forever.
Did you find it almost addictive? Like, did you love the feeling of creating those kind of pieces and seeing the reaction?
It's gotta be a feeling that you have to love. And the thing is, not only doing shows around Rochester, when you go out to different cities, and it's almost like a test. Like, okay, I live in Rochester, and everybody's like, oh, you're from Rochester. And you show up at a show, and you shut their whole show down. Yup, I live in Rochester. So this is what we do. Mm-hmm. We come to you, and we bring, I'm like, that's like inviting a
bring
cat
our
to a dog.
Fashion. Yeah.
You know, they really, like, people really don't get it. And it's got to be a passion. It's got to be something that's inside of you. You know, mm-hmm. I had, like, a couple really great friends that actually went to FIT. I didn't go to school for this. Mm-hmm. And they're doing telemarketing now. And I'm doing what they do. And they look at me like, how? I was like, you can get a piece of paper and it can give you that status. But if you don't have it, you just don't have it. And ain't nobody gonna give it to you, teach you creativity, teach you the love for what you want to do.
I get this is the most important question of the hour. Where is that Cosby style shirt?
I think it's a little gone somewhere. It had to disappear.
No.
If you dig it out, I will wear it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Did you hear that? Nate, I'm begging you to find that shirt.
It's gotta be the shirt. Don't be coming up with some knockoff.
No, we will.
If that shirt still exists,
I really gotta look for it.
Put him on the runway.
Put him on the runway.
Sure. That would do it.
Shirt on.
Would that do it?
Yeah. That would do it. Okay. Because Nathaniel,
we're gonna find that.
They say fashion is cyclical, right? It all comes. There are certain things that are never coming back, right? Come on.
No, I'm not even going to say it.
You wouldn't say that?
I would never say that. Fashion is such a cycle that...
No, there are certain things that we all make mistakes.
No, they're going to... The mistake will come back.
Bell bottoms will come back, sure.
They're back, believe you me.
No, that's fine. I'm not talking about bell bottoms.
Animal prints have never lost style. They're always in, right?
Yes.
Fatima?
I think we never get baggy jeans back, though.
Baggy jeans.
Baggy jeans.
No way. A little more form-fitting. And I'm thinking of like what Theo and what Cliff Huxtable were wearing. Some of that stuff is not coming back.
Yeah, you might have hit that one. You know, I don't think those are coming back.
But like the cardigan? Baggy. Yeah.
Cardigans.
Well, we got to be careful because hammer pants are back.
I know.
They call
and
it a
I
drop crotch now. It's a hammer pant.
Yeah.
MC Hammer?
It's a hammer pant.
Did you hear what
they call it? Drop crotch.
Drop crotch.
Yeah, please, Hammer, don't hurt him. Please don't wear it.
Exactly.
So, all right. So maybe some of that stuff will come back, but I want you to dig up that shirt. And before I turn to Fatima's story, and if you're just joining us, we're talking Fashion Week of Rochester, which is getting ready to kick off here. You now say you're working, you feel like you're working 24/7, right?
Exactly.
And it does not matter what industry you're in, whether you're in fashion or design or whatever, it can be hard to make a living. It can be hard. And it sounds like you're doing pretty well for yourself. How do you find clients? What is your sort of clientele base? Most of the time, what are you creating?
Most of the time, I can't even imagine like how some people even get in contact with me. It's like I got your number from somebody that was in line at the grocery store.
So it's word of mouth?
It's word of mouth. And you're like, what? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, It's a constant.
And they call you and they want you to, what do they want
it
you to
do? It could
be,
like, my biggest market is prom and bridal, which I've kind of stepped back from. Okay. Because I have a variety of customers. I get mothers of the bride. I get people that's having a birthday party and I really need something spectacular. And I'll bring them in. I'll set them down. I'll say, give me an idea of what you're trying to look like. I want to look great. And I'll sketch out a piece and I'll get everything all taken care of for them. We'll pull fabrics. We'll get the whole look together. And it's just like from one end of the spectrum to the other. I mean, I could tell you this weekend I had a maternity shoot for a young lady that's having a baby. I had another outfit that I made for somebody that's having a birthday party. So it's a lot of people out there that come to me and they're looking for something. And on the other hand, like, I wanna make money, but it's so creative and it's so much fun doing what I do. As long as I look at it like I'm making a living. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, hey, one day I might be, you know, the next Versace making millions and all of that. But right now I'm happy. You know, I'm happy.
Happy is good.
You know, I'm giving people what they want and that's the end all to beat all.
Sure. And you grew up in Baltimore, where we were talking before the hour began. You know, Rochester has its own challenge, and certainly it's well documented, the poverty in Rochester, the kids in poverty, the highest level of child poverty in the country for a city its size. Baltimore has this beautiful harbor, and not far away, it has its own very, very stark problems.
Exactly.
And so you've seen it.
Yes.
So I'm just curious to know if Fashion Week, as fun as it is for you, if it means anything more to you, seeing what it benefits.
It does, because the thing is, fashion is an evolving thing. And this year I decided to do recycled fashion. And you'll see it on the runway. And we got to be mindful. Like, a lot of times people don't realize that people want to look good. And no matter what. And you can tell by, like, when the line is forming around the block for the latest Jordans that's coming out. And you got 10% of kids that can get it. And the other 90% of kids wishing they could get it. It's a big thing. So this year,
does that bother you, by the way?
I don't like Jordan, so yeah, it doesn't matter.
But Sonny, doesn't it rub me the wrong way to see so many kids put so much emphasis on a product that a lot of kids in poverty can't afford it.
Right. Yeah.
And some of that stuff is very expensive.
Mm-hmm. But somehow they make their way to get them. I don't know how.
The thing that I would say is, I learned a long time ago, like, it's a pair of sneakers that I bought that cost me $14. And I bought those sneakers like 4 or 5 years ago. And when I put them on, everybody like, oh my God, those are so dope. These are $14 sneakers. And you got on some $300 ones. And it does not, it's 20 other people in the room with it. You know, and fashion is unique, and everybody has their own style. Everybody has their own thing. Some people that I know can walk into a thrift store and come out looking like $1 million. Mm-hmm. You know, and you'd be like, what you got there from? Thrift store, $3.50. Mm-hmm. And I caught it on sale when it was green tag day.
Because some people like Dimitri can look at anybody's wardrobe. Doesn't matter how wealthy you are or not. And he can figure out the pieces that go together best. And that sounds like what you were doing at a young age, because you had to, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I had to. Really ain't had no choice. We had to make the best of what we had. So the only options we really had, though.
Yeah, but that just goes to show, again, you don't have to always be spending big money. Mm-hmm. Though if you'd like to at Fashion Week of Rochester, you'll have plenty of opportunities to do that. So let's do this. Let's get our only break of the hour. We're going to come back and talk to Fatima Bayram Sable, the owner of Paisley Boutique and Silk Bridal Boutique. And we'll make sure you get caught up on all the chances to see, not the Cosby style stuff, but the recycled stuff. I really want you to dig out that
shirt. You put a challenge out.
I do, Nathaniel. I want you to dig out that shirt.
And you got all kinds of people here in the studio, and we heard that.
But it wasn't just the Cosby style stuff that I wore that will never be worn again. I mean, hypercolor's not coming back, I don't think. There's certain things from my childhood that I do not think is coming back. I did not grow through a good fashion period. Everything was baggy, too big, it's very strange. But anyway, let's get our only break of the hour. We'll come back, talk Fashion Week of Rochester, and more about what you can expect as it rolls out here on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, former Congressman Bob Inglis. Inglis is a conservative Republican. He was a climate skeptic. He said, if Al Gore says climate change is real, then I don't believe it. But then his kids begged him to look at the facts. And he did. He talked to scientists. He came out with a plan to help reduce climate change. It cost him his job in Congress. We will talk to him about what he's doing now. Our producer, Megan Mack, sends me a note saying that there are some listeners on Twitter who are skeptical that hammer pants are actually back. So you want to defend this, Nate?
It's not called hammer pants. It's called drop.
Get on that microphone. Defend this.
It's called drop crotch.
Drop crotch.
And if you look on any of the pages, you will find drop crotch pants. And they're back.
Probably not. I mean, like, for people with my skin color, I can wear that? Come on.
You could wear whatever you like.
Okay.
As long as it fits you right.
Okay. Dimitri, are they back? Drop crotch?
I don't know.
No, they're totally back. I agree with you.
I haven't really seen them, though. I don't know what drop crotch is.
It's like a It's like a fuller leg with a drop rise. They're like
the
old
drop.
School MC Hammer pants, but now they call them drop crotch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, well, listen, if you're a skeptic on there, just Google a little bit. Maybe we'll find something out there. Or maybe you'll see something at Fashion Week of Rochester.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us.
Maybe I will.
If you're just talking to us, that's Nathaniel Johnson, owner of Nathaniel's Original.
Show.
And Fatima, you said when you were in high school?
Yeah.
Everybody went to Nate's?
So we didn't say Nathaniel's Original. We just called him Nate Shop. Nate Shop. If you wanted a nice dress, you go to Nate. And then you have it custom made. And I've always admired Nate, like, all throughout my childhood because he just has such a great quality of stitching.
Thank you.
Like, my father is a Turkish tailor. I'm now a seamstress. And just looking at your creations, I think you're wonderful.
Thank you.
And the quality of his stitching, even when we were younger in high school, you know, it wasn't cool to buy a designer prom dress. It was a little bit more desirable to have something custom made by this man here.
Thank you.
That's what our high school was like.
So custom made is better. How do you feel about the Stitch Fixes and Bombfells of the world?
I think that, you know, in a evolving world, they're necessary. I think that everything for a consumer is very, it's all about me, and how do I get from point A to point B in the shortest amount of time, the most reasonable amount of time, and what's the coolest thing I can do. So Stitch Fix and other like brands and designers and online boutiques, I think are necessary in today's world.
Okay. All right. I gave you an opening if you wanted to let us know that
it's hurting
the local business. Okay.
No, because I think that everyone that's local that knows Nate or, you know, Demetrius's like designs and has like that appreciation for it. It doesn't matter how many competitors you have. There will always be a strong following for that.
Well, before we get back to Fatima's story, Lance Ball, for those who are just joining us, Fashion Week of Rochester is there's always something new. It was a parcel. You had an event on Parcel 5 last year. You're doing it on the Interloop for one of your events this year.
Right.
But real briefly, you can find the schedule at fashionweekofrochester.org. But what are the events that you're flagging? If you could go to two or three events only, you'd be going to what?
Well, I'm not going to pick because they're like babies or children.
No, but Senator, you have to choose.
Okay. So we're featuring on Wednesday night, we are featuring those that...
next Wednesday, by the way. She means next week.
Yes, it's October 12th.
Yes.
So this week, we're building a tent. We're having a crawl. We're getting ourselves all dolled up. Everyone has to get their hair done and get ready, right? So it's the week after. And the first runway show is on October 12th, when we're featuring veterans, law enforcement, first responders, firefighters, some without their shirts. Can I say that on the air? That may sell a few tickets right now. So, handsome, good-looking, and many of them, the SWAT guys and others. And we wanted to do something really fun and different. Mm-hmm. And they'll be in uniform. And, of course, everybody loves men and women in uniform. It's time to really honor and respect, particularly some of our veterans, firefighters, and gorgeous women with little dogs and big handbags and great fashion. I think you guys are doing something Wednesday night. Are you?
Paisley's and Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm. Thursday, these guys will be on the runway, and we're bringing skateboarders from New York City and a half pipe at the end of the runway. So a T runway with an actual half pint at the end. Also local people, great people, South African designers back with us. Friday night is going to be our Rochester. Everything from little baby twins to silver foxes. My husband is mandated to walk, and he's ready again this year to walk. He has a hat again, threw into the audience last year. So silver foxes. And then we end up on the grand finale on Saturday night. So, you know, I want people to know that we are fully aware of how outrageous that may sound, that we are actually trying to raise. And I'm on track for bringing in $600,000. $600,000. Last year we raised $500,000. Big expenses, obviously. We're putting up a huge tent. We have some other big expenses because of where we are. We have to pay for all kinds of security and, you know, portable johns and all that kind of stuff. So we're hoping to yield about $400,000. It will keep shelters open. You know, I am a hyperbolist by nature. I think you've noticed that before, and I think you've mentioned it.
No, I know. I've needled you, but Elaine, I've said you are effusive, but I always feel that you are genuine, that this is who you are. You're sort of a heart-on-your-sleeve kind of person.
I couldn't be more authentic about this, but when I tell you that we're trying to open a second crisis nursery because we're maxed out, that our young men at the New Beginning House need that shelter, that we've found creative, amazing ways. And we do it by bringing people like these three with us along the way and lift them up as well. And it couldn't be better. And we're featuring Rochester, which is awesome. Economic mm-hmm. driver. People will spend a couple $100,000 on beautiful clothing and shoes and other items during the week of Fashion Week. So it's a big economic driver for Rochester as well.
Well, let's talk to Fatima, because you mentioned that you're the child of a Turkish tailor. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Both parents from Turkey?
Yes.
And
I'm first generation.
You're first generation. Mm-hmm. You're born here.
Born and raised
and
in Rochester.
Went to school here.
I went to East High School, graduated in 05.
Did you know you wanted... You're dating yourself a little bit there.
No, I just realized I'm getting old.
Oh,
I'm turning 30.
Elaine, do you want to lecture her on what old means?
So we don't go there. Let's not go there.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Luckily, this is radio.
I didn't say you're old, Elaine. I want to say that...
I got her.
Elaine, you are not old, and therefore you are young.
Right. Yeah. Very young. They're all young.
So when did you know you wanted to be a seamstress?
I was about 10.
10?
Yeah, so I feel like I can relate to Nate. I think that, like, it's just in your blood. It's this feeling that you can't really describe. And I just remember watching my father getting dressed for work because he owned his own tailor shop, and I just admired the way he dressed. And my mom, being the traditional Turkish mom, stay-at-home mom, she wanted us to cook and clean. And I thought it was more desirable to go and hang out with dad at his shop. And I remember watching him sew and saying, I can do that. That's not difficult. And he looked at me. My father's name is Hassan. So Hassan looks at me and he says, you can't do that. I haven't taught you yet. And I was like, well, I think I can try. And that's how it all started. So I've been sewing since I was a little girl.
What's the first piece that you made?
Were
you
pants? I'm a denim. Yeah, I love collecting pants. Denim. I love denim.
Okay, mm-hmm. And tell me about the business now.
Oh, so the businesses are doing really well. Silks, in November it will be its 2-year anniversary. Paisley is now 7 years old, which is crazy.
It's crazy.
And they're doing well. Like, we have a really, and that's what I meant by, like, online boutiques. We have such a good following, and I'm very appreciative of that.
Now do you get the sense now that, you know, your parents
they're local Rochesterians. My father's still a part of our tailoring company, Thimble okay. Tailor. So that's their flagship. And that's what we're known for, which brings a lot of business to Paisley and Silk through Thimble. And my father's still a part of the business. He likes to work on leathers and furs now. And my brother and I, my business partner, Tufan, we run the ship.
Is he proud of you?
My father? I hope so. He's my toughest critic. I love my dad. He's my idol. But he's old school, Middle Eastern. He likes to push me and push all my buttons. But I think he's proud.
So he's one of those who...
Because he never quits.
He's one of those, you know, he loves you, but you're not getting a whole lot of...
We don't talk about it. Yeah. No.
Okay. That's tough. It is tough.
Oh, my God. My dad. And I've always been close to my father, so growing up in the inner city, I feel like I can relate to Demetrius on this. Like, growing up in the inner city with one income, 3 kids, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom, it was, are you fed? Do you have a roof over your head? Then you're good. So it was a lot of, like, creativity and sewing that I kind of yielded towards when it came to fashion.
Do we take for granted, you think, what struggle really means?
Yes. Yes. I really do. I really do believe that. Like, growing up in the inner city, things that we think are necessities are not necessity, are like privileges to others.
Yeah.
This one time I had an employee, she was one of my top pressers for Thimble, and I'll never forget this. She had 6 kids. She was 32. She had been pressing for like 15 years, and I remember going to Walmart to buy her a pot and pan set because she had been doing really well for us. And when I gave it to her, she says to me, I've never had a pot and pan set. like a set of three pot and pans mm-hmm. that you would think that, you know, we all have in our homes and we use them. My employee did not have that at home growing up. So it's just things that we think are a struggle really aren't a struggle.
Mitra, you want to weigh in on that? You know, just the perspective that you've gained in your life, you know, growing up the way you did, experiencing homelessness. Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I agree with her. I agree with her to the fullest, though. A lot of things we take for granted as well, though, too. Because I can say with fashion, I'm kind of leaning over towards a little bit, but I can say with fashion, it helped me out a lot. It helped me find myself who I truly was. It helped me mold into this person I am today. Because my life could have went a lot of different ways. I had a lot of things in my face, but a lot of things I knew weren't right that I didn't want to accept. And where I'm from, I'm kind of like the oddball, but they love me though, because I give them something else to look at.
Exactly.
I give them something else to look at. They see, oh, he's selling drugs. He just went to jail. But he's designing clothes.
Exactly.
He's on an interview with WXSI as of now. So it's like, I feel like I'm the poster boy in my neighborhood now, and I have to give him this positive image.
Exactly.
So a lot of things, I'm just a humble person now, and I'm just grateful. So a lot of things I don't take for granted anymore. I don't take nothing for granted.
Dimitri, is there, when you talk about growing up in a place like that where you look around and it's not hard to find people who are selling drugs, it's not hard to find people who go to jail?
That's the winner where I'm from.
Yeah. And is there pressure against you doing, you know, fashion design? Is that considered, does the neighborhood think it's soft?
Oh, nah.
You don't get any grief for that?
Nah, they love that I do clothes. They push it. Yeah, they love that I do
clothes. I'm thrilled to hear that, honestly.
Exactly.
Because I was worried you were going to say people think it's soft.
Oh, nah. They love that I do clothes. They surprised. Like, what? You do clothes? I'm like, yeah. And then I've been doing it for about 4 years next month. So a lot of people around me in my neighborhood really know about it now, know that I do clothes, and they praise it. So I don't get too much, oh, you doing clothes, mm-hmm. oh, da, da, da. No, it's a lot of more people like, oh, I want my own shirt line now. I want to do clothes. So if I could embrace that and I could have them moving towards that way more, then it is what it is.
Well, let me answer a listener's question. So first of all, your stuff we're going to see two Thursdays from now. So 10 days from now, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Thursday night. You as well, Nathaniel? Yep. Is that right?
Yeah. Thursday.
Fatima, where are we going to see your stuff?
Wednesday night is Paisley, and then Saturday night, Silk.
So, and Silk is a wedding. Wait till you see these dresses.
Oh.
Wow.
I'm so excited.
All right, so hold on. You guys are down in the weeds. People just joined us. They're like, wait. Next Wednesday night, what's going on at Paisley?
No, so next Wednesday night will be at the tent, just like Elaine said.
Okay.
It's the opening night of the fashion shows. So each night, different theme, different story. So we'll be with the firemen and all the policemen. And Paisley is going to be really cool. I think this year is our strongest year ever. There's like a little surprise to it.
Then Saturday.
Saturday night, Silk Bridal will close the show. So I'm really excited for that
as
well.
That's a very big, you know, Paris and Rome and New York City ends their fashion runway shows with bridal. Last year, we actually had a proposal on the runway.
Which was amazing.
But this year, Fatima's beautiful, beautiful creations will be there.
So you're closing it out. That's a big deal. And we had a caller.
It's huge.
We had a caller in Canandaigua. Sue wanted to know, where are the boutiques? And she just wanted a reminder, you know, where is everybody's stuff to be found? She said she's 84. She needs a dress custom made.
Wow.
So Sue. All right,
Nature.
Sue. Look over you, Nathaniel.
But see, like, that's the beauty of fashion. Like, when you just asked Demetrius, do people support? I think that everyone has an appreciation for fashion. And, like, whether you're 80 or you're 13,
exactly.
It brings all of us together.
Okay, so.
So Nate Shop.
This is Nate's. Okay, so Nate, so people want to people want to find you.
I'm
Do you want them to find you?
I definitely want them to find me.
I'm at 250 Cumberland Street, suite 247. And I do have a phone number out there. It's 585-471-9749.
Now, hold on. Poor Sue. Poor Sue's writing as fast as she can, so you have to do it one more time.
585-471-9749.
Okay, so that's how you find Nathaniel.
Yes.
Nathaniel's original. That's how you find... Now, who would you be designing for, Demetra? Who's the kind of... What's the kind of work that you want to be doing?
I want to bridge the gap between urban and designer. Mm-hmm. That's the gap I want to bridge, because it's a lot of... I see a lot of fake from designers about urban wear, mm-hmm. but I see a lot of urban style and a lot of new designer clothing nowadays. So my goal, I just want to bridge that gap between both of those.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Fatima, just a reminder for Sue and anybody else listening, again, a couple of different angles on what you've been doing. Go ahead.
Yeah, so my two businesses are actually next door to one another, and you can find us at the Brighton Tops Plaza, which is 1900 South Clinton Avenue, and we're the end cap to your right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Evan, could I have had more perfect people with us today, with me and you? I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, I think this is a great example of what a lot of us are not even aware is in our own community when it comes to designers, quality of people creating, quality of people with backstories. I mean, if I'm spending any dollars on design, I want it to go to people just like this, sitting right here in the studio, who are from our area, who have these remarkable personal success stories. Demetria, I want you to find every client you possibly want. That would be great, you know, because, you know, you deserve that.
Blessings.
And Elaine, do you see success out of Fashion Week? Do you see people kind of get hooked up with clients maybe they never met, people come out for these events at night?
Yeah, I'll give you two stories. Fatima, actually, her business was born at the same time. Mm-hmm. We're 7 years, so certainly not taking credit for her, because she's done her own amazing work, but she has been with us since the beginning. Tanvi Asher is another good example. Mm-hmm. Started a little teeny store on Meg's off Park Avenue, mm-hmm. then expanded to the front of Park Avenue. Tomorrow, she will be celebrating a grand opening at the Culver Road Armory in a big, huge space. Moving up. So she also got her start during Fashion Week. So, you know, Evan, this is it's an unusual connection, isn't it? I'm talking about connections, but it is unusual to think about fashion. And there's some very, very high-end designs as well. And you can order bottle service, you know, like you're in a big fancy club that night as well. But the goal is always the same, to be inclusive, to be generous, to be supportive, to be beautiful inside and out, as we say, but also to remember who we are, where we come from, why we love our city so much. We are grateful. People say to me, why do you always say you're grateful? Why do you work so hard? I said, you know, a lot of people work hard. They don't have what we have. So mm-hmm. we will always practice gratitude at the Center for Youth. And we have young people who are going to be able to be safe and be fed and be cared for because of people like Dimitri, Fatima, and Nathaniel. And you, for having us here today.
Fashionweekofrochester.org for the schedule. 90 seconds, Elaine. We had the writers of the newest poverty report on a couple of weeks ago. It's not good. I mean, and look, we stressed... Yeah. This anti-poverty initiative,
I
don't think it's a cop-out. It's going to take a long time to get really rolling.
Right.
But the numbers, we are starting from a very, very deep hole. And I wonder what you made of that.
Well, you know, we serve 22,000 young people at the center. Many of them come to us from the streets and in our crisis nursery, families who have fallen apart. We're in this together. We are not happy with the numbers, but we are resilient. We are determined. We will not give up. And little by little, program by program, family by family, kid by kid, we're going to be in there. And Fashion Week is just one way to raise dollars, actually, and to have fun at the same time. But got a big job to do ahead of us. And this is just one way to mm-hmm. raise awareness and some funds as well.
All right. You get the last word, Elaine. You're a proud liberal Democrat. Don't tell me elect anybody. Tell me one policy or one change that you want to see come to this community that will help start moving poverty in the other direction.
Well, I'd like to see us really focus more on our child care issues. And that's one of the things a crisis nursery does. You can't get a job. You can't go to school We have kids dropping out of school and not being able, and now everybody wants jobs and we want jobs too, but if you don't have good, solid child care, respite care like we provide, or good, solid child care, we will never get families employed. It just won't happen. People won't show up. So God bless you, Evan Dawson. You know I love you.
Well, thank you. Thanks for taking the time to come in and share our community stories with our listeners, who, if they want to check out Fashion Week of Rochester, fashionweekofrochester.org, a lot of fun coming up in a very unique space right there on the Interloop.
And we're going to find that shirt.
Yes, and, we have to.
And some hammer pants.
Look, drop crotch.
I like
drop crotch.
I like Theo Huxtable, but I don't want to dress like him.
but we heard it here. He'll be with us if
Elaine
we can find
Spall,
that shirt.
Center for Youth. Thank you very much, Elaine.
Thank you.
Great seeing you. Nathaniel, Dimitri, Sunny Azel, Fatima. Good luck to all of you, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, guys.
Short break. More Connections next.